Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Thanks for joining us. The proposed redevelopment of the 100 East Tower right in downtown Milwaukee on Water and Wisconsin Avenue. It's kind of Main and Main if you haven't been in downtown Milwaukee in a while. It's raised, you know, a couple business and community questions, but it's right on trend with what's happening in other markets. Office towers being converted to residential. And in a city that needs more housing, developers and entrepreneurs like John Vassallo are looking to fill a void and grow their portfolios. I'm thankful today that Johnny V joins us in the studio. Johnny, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Good morning.
Good morning. So walk us through. I mean, is there sufficient demand for 384 new apartments in downtown Milwaukee? And what incentives do you need to make the math work for the project that you're working on Water in Wisconsin?
So we definitely believe there's demand. Milwaukee's in a renaissance. Great place. People want to be here. And so we need affordable options.
Mm-hmm.
So affordable can be all different things.
Yeah.
Affordable is generally 25 to 27% of household income.
Okay.
And so that leaves a lot of categories.
Yeah.
The conversion, the adaptive reuse of office buildings across the country is a hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
20-some percent of office space across the country is vacant, and they don't all work.
Yeah.
And it's really expensive, but the options are really bleak.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, the alternatives to keep those buildings vacant are really bleak for cities and downtown specifically. And for a market like downtown Milwaukee, that really the master plan for downtown Milwaukee in the last 30 years has been heavily focused on housing. And that's why we continue to really rise all boats, right? I mean, it's all about the people.
Yeah, we have a huge boom. And you see that different big corporations moving back to downtown. It's because the people are here.
Yeah.
You know, they're relocating to where they can get people to go to work.
Yeah.
And so I think that's great for Milwaukee. I think our individual site that you're speaking of can be a tremendous winner, but it's going to need some help. You know, we've applied for Historical, which you and I talked about a couple days ago.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of that.
Yeah.
We've asked the city to provide some tax incremental funding. We're trying to work on that
mm-hmm.
and any other options that we have to create a capital stack that will actually
yeah.
attract the investors that we need to make that work.
And walk us through that as much as you can. So on a local level, the Milwaukee Historic Preservation Commission has voted to support the building's nomination to the National Register of Historic Places. It was built in 1989. So it's more about the significance of the building from a history standpoint. But now you qualify for tax credits through the National Park Service and some other incentives. What's the process to get there, as you said, to kind of put that capital stack together to move the development forward?
So it's a government program that tries to preserve beautiful, iconic buildings.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to get historical credits when we redid MKE Lofts.
Yeah.
It's a great program. It comes with a bunch of details that are super important to the Preservation Society and the national parks. And so we are working our way through that. It started in 86. I like to always remind people.
Okay. All right. Okay. A couple years older than you're saying, Jeff. Come on.
Finished in 89. Definitely historically significant. It was the first trading post.
Okay.
There's a historical marker on it. The Pabst building was there. When that was torn down, the city actually didn't have a way to prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that destruction,
okay.
The city created provisions that they could prevent that in the future.
Yeah.
And then the building was required to be a direct reflection of the building that was torn down. It's
okay.
The only way they got permitted. It's post-modern architecture. There's just not a lot of that around. And so we're working with them to preserve the things that they want preserved, the vaults in the lobby and the exterior, the windows. Mm-hmm. So, but it's super important
yeah.
because those tax credits then can be sold, and then that helps with your capital stack. And in really difficult projects like this, it can get a return on investment that will attract investors to allow this to happen.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, I want to talk, kind of get in detail a little bit more about the specifics around the development, the timetable, and the next steps, and get your thoughts on kind of the unique challenges in the Milwaukee housing market and maybe how it compares to some other markets you're doing work in. This is The Upswing. We're talking with developer John Vassallo. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by developer, restaurateur, John Vassallo. So the 35-story, 435,000-square-foot building was sold in August to Klein Development and developer and investor John Vassallo, who joins us in studio today. So, Johnny, as you look at the next steps for the 100 East development, which, you know, there's been a handful of smaller developments in downtown Milwaukee that have been converted from office to residential. But this is the marquee one. This is the largest pending project out there. Obviously, Johnson Controls, what they're doing with that former space, there'll be some housing there. Mm-hmm. But from a single building that's known for office, this will be the first major conversion.
Yeah, this will be a prolific change for downtown.
Yeah. And what do you need to move the project forward other than the historic tax credits?
We would either need rates to come down, okay, which I think that that's kind of in motion,
yeah,
but may not hit our timeline. So then there's other tools that, like the city of Milwaukee has, TIF, which is tax incremental financing.
Right.
It's a tool in their toolbox where they can take the current value and the future value based on what we do. And if we have a gap, so the project may not happen, they have the ability to potentially fill that gap and then get their money back over time through increased taxes.
Yeah.
It is a great tool. And the DCD here, which is headed by Lafayette Crump, Lafayette is a tremendous advocate for Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
He's really smart. He's very loyal to the city and to the administration. And I believe he's working really diligently to come up with solutions that people will know in advance. We may be a pilot program. And Tim Gockman's been very outspoken about it. So currently, a lot of housing doesn't work. There's a reason why we're short 4 million houses across the United States,
mm-hmm,
right? Whether that's apartments or homes, a lot of shortage.
So would you need new TIF in order to make the project happen? Is that a necessity to move it forward?
If rates don't go down significantly, yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And other projects you're working in other markets, Houston, Indianapolis, mm-hmm, you have developments in. How does Milwaukee compare in terms of its kind of lens into helping and assisting developers to move housing, specifically kind of affordable housing projects forward?
Yeah. So I think the mindset here is definitely on affordable workforce, and now I think they're getting open to market rate.
Yeah.
I think it's becoming more of a popular understanding that supply and demand is even effective in housing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's many theories and many reports that we have that say all additional housing lowers all rates. So I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. Houston grows at almost 100,000 people a year. And it has since I've been doing business there back in 07.
Yeah.
So 1.7 million people.
Yeah.
Rental rates on average are lower in Houston than they are in Milwaukee.
Hmm.
My opinion is that we just can't keep up with demand. And so my opinion is that we would.
So having more product fulfills that demand.
For everyone. If you try to rent an apartment in Wauwatosa right now, I mean, get your wallet out.
Mm-hmm.
The whole wallet.
Yeah.
And so other communities surrounding Milwaukee have gotten very aggressive. Bayside TIF, Kenosha TIF, Green Bay TIF, Appleton TIF, Greenfield, West Allis, Oak Creek. And they've been super aggressive because they want what everybody else wants. They want lower housing costs for their constituents and higher property
more people and more density.
That's right.
That's what community development's all about.
And I think Milwaukee is really focused on that. It's a bigger community. There's lots of different constituencies to make happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's been a little bit more challenging for them to get to where they want to
be. Okay. We only got about 30 seconds before break, but give us a quick update in the restaurant world. Obviously, Moe's, a place for steaks downtown, an icon, continues to grow. How's that business doing for you?
Moe's is booming. So the steakhouse has never been busier. It's amazing. The pubs, though, have not caught up to pre-COVID numbers, which I feel is interesting.
Changing dynamics in drinking or just...
I think all of it. I think fast casual has gotten so much better.
Yeah.
I think having 3 hours to hang out and watch a game maybe in one place, potentially different. Not sure.
Yeah.
But we will figure it out.
All right. Very good. Developer, restaurateur John Vassallo, who is working to redevelop the 100 East building from office to residential. Some challenges and opportunities as he moves that project forward. Johnny, I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.